Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, all you old-time radio fans out there in podcast land. We have another hour for you coming up right now. We'll start it off with suspense. This is called The Black Path of Fear, and it's from 1946.
Suspense. Mr. Cary Grant, as star of The Black Path of Fear, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed by William Speer. Suspense.
It was our first day in Havana. We'd taken a hack, an open horse-drawn carriage, and spent the afternoon driving around to see the sights. She was always crazy about jade. So in Chinatown, we stopped in a little curiosity shop the driver steered us to. We bought a few gadgets there and started back toward the main part of the town. It was getting dark, and she snuck it up close to me there in the carriage.
It's been a wonderful day, Scotty.
Yeah.
I was scared at first. A couple of times I thought I saw him in the crowds there in Chinatown. Guess it was just my imagination.
Oh, sure it was. He wouldn't try any rough stuff this far from his home base. He may be a little Caesar around his nightclubs back in Florida. But here in Cuba, he's just another alien that better not get caught carrying a gun.
He said he'd get me if I ever left him. No matter where I went.
Nah, but he sent a radiogram wishing us luck.
That's what worries me. He didn't say which kind of luck.
Alto, Gabriel. Alto.
Now, what's this, driver?
It's Sloppy Joe's. Big attraction, the Havana.
Of course, Sloppy Joe's. Want to go in, darling?
Why not? We can only die once.
So I paid the coachman. We went into Sloppy Joe's. The place was jammed to the sidewalk line and so noisy you couldn't hear yourself think. It was like a football scrimmage when you moved in. And like sardines in a can when you stood still. And then suddenly the crowd divided in front of us like the Red Sea. And a little photographer came through using an old-fashioned tripod for a battering ram. He set up his camera and pointed it in our direction.
The senor and the lady would like a picture for to show their friends back in the estate.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, please, Scotty. We've never had a picture taken together.
Together? With 4,000 people jammed up against us on all sides?
Well, instead, maybe you come to my estudio, Calle Barrios. It's not far.
No. All right, go on. Shoot it here.
Bueno. I make a pose, please. Mm-hmm. Much green, you much long.
Okay.
Bueno. Watch the birdie. Hold it. That is all. I have the picture. Here is my card. Pepe Campos.
Hey.
Picture be ready tomorrow.
Well, come on. He's taking it now, darling. Well, come on, honey. Everybody's looking at us.
Don't rush me, Scotty. Give me time.
Hey, what is it? Why are you so limp? What's wrong?
I knew we wouldn't make it. What do we care? Part of a night's better than none at all.
Heath!
Just stay with me a minute. It won't take long.
Darling, what happened? What happened?
Scotty, that was the first picture we ever had taken together. Let me know how it turns out.
Oh, Eve! Eve, darling! She's dead. She doesn't move anymore. Somebody do something. She's been knifed. Right here in my arms. Havana is a fast town for anything. Love, life, and death, too. A minute ago, I'd been half of a honeymoon couple getting their first picture snapped by a little Cuban photographer in Sloppy Joe's. Now I was alone with a corpse in an empty saloon. But that didn't go on for long, either. There were cops there in half a minute, and finally a detective.
This woman is dead.
Yeah, I know.
You were the man with her?
I was the man with her.
Hmm. Your name?
Hmm? Scott. Bill Scott.
Mr. Scott. How long have you been in Havana?
4 hours.
You quarrel with this girl here in this bar?
Yeah. No. We were only in here long enough to have our picture taken.
You were traveling together?
That's right.
Her name on her tourist card is Mrs. Edward Spinelli.
Yeah.
Where is Mr. Spinelli?
Not where I'd like him to be, which is wrong.
You are not being very cooperative, Mr. Scott.
Okay, I'll tell you the whole story. She was a singer in a nightclub in Tampa, Florida. Spinelli owned the nightclub. He packed a gun, and so did the waiters in the joint. He gave her the choice between getting killed and marrying him. So she married him.
And how did you meet her?
I worked for Spinelli. I drove his car.
You are not a chauffeur by profession, are you, Mr. Scott?
No. I took the job to get her away from him. Is there anything wrong in that?
The murder weapon, this knife. What do you know about it?
What are you driving at?
Is this your knife, Mr. Scott?
No. No, but it's a pretty close match. I bought one just like it this afternoon in the curiosity shop. Wait a minute, I'll show you. I've got it in my pockets right
now. Cuidado con
eso. Wait a minute. Don't get so excited. Okay, it's in this pocket. Now fish it out yourself if you want to.
There is no knife here.
But there's got to be. It was a knife with a jade handle. Like that one you've got there with a monkey carved on it. But the monkey on the one I bought was holding his hands over his ears. There were three of them in the shop. You know the type. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
I only know that you bought a knife this afternoon, that you no longer have the knife, and that a knife has been used to stab this woman.
But it's not the same knife, I tell you. I can prove it. Give me a chance to prove it, will you?
All right, Mr. Scott. I will give you a chance.
So we went back to the shop where I'd bought the knife, back to Chinatown. Inspector Acosta, that was the Cuban detective's name, questioned the old duck who sold it to me.
You remember this man buying something in here this afternoon, viejo?
Yes. Gentleman buy knife, ornamental knife. Knife with jade handle.
Well, describe the jade handle.
Jade handle have monkey.
We know that. Describe the monkey.
Pretty sure monkey hiding eyes. See no evil.
You're crazy. What's the matter with you? What are you trying to do to me? I bought the one holding its ears. You know that.
Teochin, this man's life may depend on what you are saying. Are you absolutely sure?
Knives come by threes. First one is sold to this gentleman. Others still got... I can't show you.
Can't lie in your teeth. Listen, Acosta. So what if he shows you a set with that one missing? He's probably got 100 sets in his storeroom.
Only one set imported. Can show customs invoices.
How did this man and the woman act when they came into the shop?
Really act scared. Very scared. The man Scott take out knife. He feel to see if sharp. He go over to ready with it. He do like this. For joke.
Maybe. Sure, well, it was a joke.
Ready don't think it's joke. Oh, she turned very pale and act scared. She say, go ahead. She say, she tired waiting for to be stabbed with knife.
Uh-huh. Well, Scott?
Well, I think she did say something like that. She was afraid Spinelli was going to have her bumped off. Well, he did it. And this guy has been paid to frame me. Can't you see that?
I am sorry, Mr. Scott, but I must place you under arrest for the murder of Mrs. Eva Spinelli.
As we threaded our way back through Chinatown in the police car, I thought the whole thing over and came to a decision. The car was creeping along at a snail's pace through the crowded streets. I was in the middle, Acosta and the other Dick on either side of me. The car fitted in the narrow lane like a cork in a bottle. If it came to a halt in front of the door of a building, and finally it did, just that. I bolted and they came after me, fast. The door I ducked into opened onto a pitch black hallway. I groped around till I found a flight of stairs and started climbing. Go ahead and shoot. They didn't start shooting right away. They had to spot me with their lights first. The rays from their pocket flashes kept stabbing past me like tracer bullets. The light could only shine in a straight light beam, and I could go around the curve at the head of each flight. The third turn was the last. There was a square vent at the back of a passage, and I could see the stars through it. There was a ladder of rusty, twisted chains with rotten wood cross pieces. I knew I'd never have time for it. And suddenly, the light hit me. But the bullet didn't. I ducked back in the shadows and turned the knob of the nearest door, tossing my head over to the foot of the ladder to make it look as if I lost it while climbing. I backed through the door into a room. In the dark room, I stood very still and listened. They were separating to case the roofs along the block. Well, I was safe for a few minutes anyway. Try to figure out where I am. A room. A dark room. I strained my eyes into the blackness. Then... Something cool and metallic found the side of my neck. It was the business edge of a knife.
Bueno.
No hablo español.
No moverse.
Now, take it easy, take it easy. I can't talk your language. Put that knife down, will you, miss?
¿Qué quiere usted?
Polizzi. Best Dickensy. Understand? Comprende? Up there on the stairs. I don't know how to say it. Police here. They're after me. Cops.
Cops? Why didn't you say so before? I hate cops.
Oh, you do talk English.
I ought to. I've been in enough of your jails to take out naturalization papers. Get over there. I'll do what I can for you.
They're coming back. I better get out of here.
Don't be a fool. There's 20 of them down in the street now. They sure must want you bad, Chico.
Well, they say I killed my girl.
They say wrong?
They say very wrong.
Another man took her away from you, eh?
No, I took her away from another man.
Aye? Then any fool of a policeman knows you didn't kill her. You never kill what doesn't belong to you, only what does.
Tell them that. Uh-oh, here comes payday.
Quickly, get into the cop there. Cover yourself up.
But...
Do as I tell you. Take off that shirt. Don't stop for buttons. Tear it off. Now then, face the wall.
Hey, what are you doing?
Stay perfectly still and don't rub against the covers. No, don't move.
Dispenser, ha visto un hombre muy macizo, un americano.
No he visto a nadie.
¿Y quién es ese?
Mi hombre.
Veamos.
Está muy enfermo. Viruela.
¿Viruela?
Sí, viruela. Mire la cuarentena.
Es verdad. Viruela. Vámonos.
Dispense. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches, señores.
Well, what was all that about? Hey, what are all these red spots on me?
I put them there with lipstick.
Why?
I told the cops you were my husband and I was smallpox.
Oh, and they believed it?
Why not? I showed them the quarantine sign on the door. Manolito, that was my man. He died of smallpox in this room.
Huh?
Oh, don't be alarmed. It has all been disinfected.
Oh. Well, say thanks. Why did you go to bat for me like that anyway?
Different reasons. Flowers on a grave, I guess.
Flowers on a... What does that mean?
It's hard to explain. It's my way of doing something for someone that isn't around anymore, I guess. It's the only way I have. I don't know any other way. You see, I know what it is to lose someone you love, too, just like you.
Manolito?
See, he got the smallpox in jail. He came back here to me to die. What does your name, Guapo?
Bill Scott.
Is Scott?
No, Scott. With an S.
It's too hard to say. I'll call you Guapo. That means handsome.
Well, thanks. What shall I call you?
Around this neighborhood, they call me Medianoche.
Media...
It means midnight. Try it that way.
Okay. Midnight?
They call me that because now I always hang around late by myself since he's gone.
Well, midnight, I don't know what to say to you except thanks.
No matter. Flowers on a grave.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'd better get going.
What do you want to throw away all my hard work for? They spot you at the next corner.
Well, I can't hang around here for the rest of the night.
What's the matter with it here?
Why, nothing, but...
How do you figure on getting out of town, even if you do get out of here?
I don't know.
You don't know Havana, you don't know Cuba. You're on an island, water all around you.
Yeah.
You don't get away.
Well, it looks like I stay in Havana. Oh, if I could only get hold of that photographer.
Photographer?
Yeah. There was a photographer in Sloppy Joe's. He was snapping a picture of us just when it happened.
Ay, mira, you think maybe this picture is the man who killed your sweetheart, eh?
I'm pretty sure of it.
Sin guapo. What do you remember about this photographer?
Well, he was just a typical cheap photographer for tourists. Hey, wait a minute. He said something about having a studio somewhere near Sloppy's. He gave me a card. Where is it?
Calle Barrios?
Yeah, that's it. Calle Barrios. You know that guy?
Sailors go there with girls to get their pictures taken. His name is Pepe Campos.
Oh, well, I got to get that picture, midnight. I'll have to risk it.
Well... Un momento. I get you some other clothes. Here, I think these fit you.
Thanks.
Manolito was one big sailor. Now listen, I tell you how to get away from here. Over the Calle Barrio so maybe the police don't see you.
Yeah?
You go right down the mouth of the alley and you turn to the right. That's this hand here. Just a few steps from there.
It was so dark I almost had to feel my way along the streets. And suddenly, out of nowhere, came a voice.
Hasta cuando nos quedamos aquí?
Hasta que lo vimos.
Williams.
There were two of them there, keeping the alley covered. I looked back the way I'd come. Someone was coming along slowly. I waited there, paralyzed.
Que tal, marinero?
Huh? What?
Are you lonesome?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Look, you want to take a walk, sister?
You said it.
Fine. Well, walk close to me like this. No, no, lean up closer. Get your face up under mine. Yeah, that's it. Give me a little more affection. That's it. Now walk down this way with me, just past the corner, huh?
You said it, big boy. You said it.
Where should we go, honey?
You said it.
That's good. Here's the turn. Goodbye, sister.
Cheapskates! Cheapskates, Benyako! Cheapskates!
I was afraid her yelling might attract the cops, so I took off down the street and then I ducked into an alley to catch my breath. I looked up. There was a sign on a shop. Campos Retratos y Fotografias. At first I didn't get it. And then all of a sudden I knew I was there. I opened the door and walked in.
Si, senor?
You took a picture this evening of me and a lady in Sloppy Joe's. I want that picture.
Oh, no me recuerdo. I do not recall, senor.
There was trouble right afterwards. A lot of noise.
Oh, si. I remember. I am just developing the pictures I have taken today.
Uh-huh.
Come with me. This is my dark room. The most latest equipment. Eastman Kodak.
Yeah. Well, where's that picture?
They are all in the bath. Un momento. This the one?
Wait a minute. No, that's not.
Oh.
How long are they going to...
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute. I think that's it.
Ah.
Yeah, it's beginning to come through. Yeah, that's us. Yeah.
Oh, someone leans over the lady's shoulder, no?
Yes. Let's have some more light on the subject.
Si. This is someone you know, senor?
Yes, it's someone I know. His name
Never
is...
Never mind the name, Scotty. I'll introduce myself.
Spinelli.
Stand over against the wall. You know, I'm glad you found this picture, Scotty. I was kind of nervous about having a thing like this floating around. You can understand my feelings.
You surprise me, Spinelli. I didn't think you'd be brave enough to stab a woman in the back without your gorillas around to protect you.
Don't make me angry, Scotty. I'm in a bad mood.
I didn't know you were smart like you are either, Spinelli. I apologize. That was a cute trick, hiring a cab driver to steer us to that shop in Chinatown. But what I still can't figure out is how you switched those knives.
I didn't. I still have the knife you bought. I frisked it out of your pocket. Would you like to see it first? Pretty, ain't it? You know, we've always had an eye for jades, and this is definitely the best of the three. I hate to spoil such a pretty knife, but the revolver, it makes too much noise. I think I'll use the knife on you, too. I like things symmetrical, like Romeo and Juliet, ain't it? What's that? Don't move, Scotty.
Guapo, you in here?
His sweetheart not dead an hour and already he has another.
Midnight, get out of here, quick. This man is a killer.
I'm not afraid of you, big boy.
Keep away from me. Don't try any funny business.
Mi hombre, he was just like you. He talk very mean, but he don't hurt me, not one little bit.
I don't only talk big, sister. Now, look, I got a job to do here. I'll talk to you when I've shut your boyfriend's trap for good.
My boyfriend? Are you kidding? Go ahead, finish him off. He take a powder on me. He stinks.
Ha-ha! Ran out on her, eh? Why, Scotty, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You're rich. You got many diamonds. I like you, mister.
Stop mooching around.
Midnight, I tell you, this guy is a killer. Now, watch out.
Ah, shut up. How about it, big boy?
Huh? Stick around, sister. I can use talent like yours.
Kiss me, big boy.
Later.
Right now. Or I yell very loud, make big troubles.
You're pretty hot stuff, aren't you, huh?
You don't know the half from it, big boy.
Huh? Come here.
No! Now's your chance. Grab the gun.
Why, you dirty little stoop pigeon.
Shut up, Spinelli. I've got the gun now.
Oh, Scotty. I was only throwing a scare into you. I would have knocked you off right away if that's what I meant to do. Wouldn't I, huh?
What's it worth to you to stay alive, Spinelli?
$100,000, Scotty. In the bank, right here in Havana. Just let me get over to the table there. Check the bearer. No strings.
$100,000?
Look. $150,000, Scotty. What do you want?
I want Eve back again. Alive.
$200,000. Chicago account thrown in, $250,000. That's a quarter of a million, Scotty.
I want Eve. I want her back again.
You can't bring the dead to life, Scotty. But you can be rich. Kill me and you get nothing but a murder rap. The picture don't show me sticking the knife in her. The knife don't mean nothing. Chin and the driver will never talk. You're just fixing up a nice murder rap for yourself, Scotty.
Stand over under the light. I don't want to miss.
Scotty. No. Don't do it, Scotty. Scotty! You win. Scotty!
So that's the story. And so I've come to give myself up for the murder of Ed Spinelli. Well, Inspector, what are you going to do about it?
About what?
About what? About what I just told you, murder.
I don't speak English so good. I often miss hearing things that I speak, especially when they are said too fast.
I can say it slower. I just killed
My English stinks today. I don't understand.
You don't understand. I said...
Please, would you mind not coming in here mumbling in this English of yours that I do not understand?
Well, okay by me, if that's the way you feel about it.
Oh, oh. Mr. Scott, this girl is Medea Noche.
Medea? Midnight? What about her? You know where she is?
That girl, that woman, she has been raising Ken in my jail all night, all day yesterday.
Well, what's she charged with?
Well, my foolish officers questioned her and did not know any better than to put some charge all in the book. Senor Scott, we have been stuck with her ever since. She is like a hurricane.
I'll agree with you there.
Senor Scott, if you haven't got enough to bail her out, I paid out of my own pocket. Anything to get her out.
Well, Midnight, it's over.
Si, guapo. It is over.
Hey. You got any idea where we're headed for?
Sloppy Joe's. The feet of an Americano in Havana walk always in the direction of a Sloppy Joe's, no?
Yeah, I can hear it already. Will you come in with me, Midnight?
No, guapo. You go in alone.
Well, won't you just have one with me, please?
No.
Why not?
There's someone waiting for you in there.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't know anybody in Havana. Except you.
Someone is waiting for you in there, guapo. Flowers on the grave, no?
Flowers on the grave. In Sloppy Joe's.
Love makes any place beautiful. Even the Sloppy Joe's. Go on, guapo. Buy her a drink at the bar and tell her how that picture you took turned together out. You promised you would, remember?
How do you tell something to somebody that's dead?
In your mind, guapo. Where she will always be.
I'll try and tell her, Midnight. I'll tell her about you, too.
Oh, no. She will be jealous.
Not when I tell her.
You don't know women, guapo.
Maybe not. Well...
Adios, guapo.
Goodbye, Midnight.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Now that we've scared you a little, it's time to go to Duffy's Tavern and have a cold one. Okay, let's do that. This is called Unsplitting the Atom, and the guest star is Sandra Gould. It's from 1945.
So we take you now to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you late meet eat? Archie DeMange is speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Big crowd here tonight. Crackpot O'Toole, Looney Mulligan. By the way, Looney is very worried. Well, his brother is in trouble again. He'll probably get out of it. I doubt it, Duffy. They electrocuted him last night. And you know who else is here? Yaki Harrigan. Well, yeah, he's been in a hospital. No, just a flesh wound. Well, you remember the $100 bill he had tattooed on his chest? He was robbed. That reminds me, Duffy, Dave Hossinger is coming down here tonight. Huh? You still sore because he sold you that vanishing cream for Mrs. Duffy? But Duffy, he didn't guarantee to make her vanish permanently. Huh? Well, I know he's a phony, Duffy, but he is my pal, and I'll brook nothing further in his behalf. Good day, sir. That guy. Well, Eddie, come here. You know, Dave Hostager is coming down here tonight, so leave us lay out the welcome mat for him, huh?
No, we can't do it.
Why not?
He swiped it the last time he was here.
Now, look, Eddie, Dave has reformed.
Again?
Well, a leopard can change his spots, can't he?
Yeah, if he does, it'll be for stripes.
Eddie, you're a stubborn man. Leave me quote you what Dave says in his letter. And I quote, Archie, I am working on a highly secret and scientific experiment involving the splitting of the atom, and I may let you in on it. Signed, Dave.
Mr. Archie, I got a feeling there's a fraud in your future. But tell me, what do you estimate your friendship with Dave Hostinger has cost you so far?
Eddie, you don't measure friendship in dollars and cents. I've known Dave for a long time. I know that through the years he has come to me for money, but only when he couldn't raise it no place else. And it was never for himself. He was always trying to do some good with it. For example, Mother's Day had come along, and Dave, sweet guy that he is,
I'd get sentimental and borrow a couple of bucks to bail the old lady out.
A very nice touch.
Yeah. And now, me and Dave are going to work together, delving into the mysteries of anatomic physics. And what that means, Eddie. Mm-hmm. Have you ever considered the atom with respect to industry?
Naturally. What you think I do with my days off?
Imagine what it'll do, huh? I was reading that one fingernail full of atoms will be able to pull a train up a 90% hydraulic grade with only 3 amperes of diesel horsepower.
How do they do it?
Well, it's simple. The train will be jet propulsed. You understand about the atom, of course.
No, tell me about it, Daddy.
Well, these atoms are so small, you see, that you can get a dozen of them on a pinhead. Hello, Finnegan. What do you hear?
Bells, like always. What are you talking about?
Well, we was talking about splitting the atom.
Oh, that's a big mistake, Arch.
Expostulate.
Well, look what happened in, the Garden of Eden. They split an atom, and look what come out of it. Damn.
Finnegan, as your nearest and dearest friend, may I make an illuminating comment?
Well, certainly, Arch. What is it?
You're stupid.
Not so loud. That's just between you and me.
Finnegan, what I was talking about was not the A-D-A-M. I was talking about the atom. A-T-A-M. No, I can't understand a guy like you. Here are big things happening in the world. The atom is split up. Reconversion is setting in. But it means nothing to you, does it?
No.
You see what I mean? You don't know from nothing.
Oh, yeah? Do you know that Tessie Mumler fell down a manhole?
No, I didn't.
Well, touche. don't be telling me what's an atom.
Yeah.
Hello, Archie. Hello, Finnegan.
Hello, Miss Duffy.
Boy, that's some short skirt you got on. Boy, I can see your knees.
Finnegan, them are her ankles.
They still look good to me, Arch.
Finnegan, please. The beast in you is coming out, and two beasts is too much. Now go on home and take a cold shower.
Archie, what's this about Dave Hossinger coming down here tonight?
So what?
He's a crook.
Define that.
Well, you remember the last time he was here, he was selling that surplus army goods?
Yeah.
Well, he sold Mama a surplus girdle that split the first time she wore it.
Well, don't blame the girdle just because your old lady has too much surplus.
Archie, do you always have to say nasty things behind Mama's back?
Well, it offers such a nice broad field of operations. And furthermore, I don't want no more questions about Hossinger. He's coming down here tonight on a very secret mission.
Well, you could tell me what it is.
Tell you? The Tokyo Rose at 3rd Avenue?
What are you talking about? If you remember, Ernest Diefeldorfer and I were secretly engaged for 2 years, and I didn't tell a soul.
Well, you must have told somebody, or else how would his wife have found out? Now, look, Miss Duffy, if you were the last woman on Earth, which is a horrible thought in itself, and if I was madly in love with you, which is too revolting for words, I would still say that this secret is none of your business.
But, Archie...
Now, please, stop. You're getting to be a pest.
Oh, you never have a good word for anybody.
On the contrary, I have 5 good words for you. Hit the road.
That's only 3.
The rest ain't hard to figure.
Oh,
Now, stop bothering me before you drive me to berserk. What a dame.
Mr. Archer?
Yeah, Eddie?
I think Mr. Hosner is here.
How do you know?
I just heard one pretzel say to another, and you think you're crooked.
Quiet. Here he comes. You'll hurt his feelings.
Archie, my old pal.
Dave, me old buddy.
My old schoolmate.
Me old side chick.
The next voice you hear will be that of the old prosecuting attorney.
Eddie, please, cut out the rejoinders. Well, Dave, it's great to see you again. What you been doing? Working hard?
Well, not too hard, Art. I like to take things easy.
Yeah, you do it that, don't you? And yet, you're a success. How do you do it, Dave? What's your formula?
Oh, it's very simple, Arch. Hear no evil, speak no evil, and keep moving. you got my letter, didn't you?
Yeah, but Dave, why so misterioso?
Well, look, you read in the papers about them splitting the atom in half, huh?
Yeah.
I have got both halves right here in this box.
But, Dave, what are you going to do with a split atom?
It's obvious. Piece it together again.
Amazing. But that's a big job, Dave. What do you get out of it?
Where's your imagination, Arch? They worked on the atom for years. Spent $2 billion on it. And what happened? The doggone thing split. So if they spent $2 billion splitting it, what do you think they'll pay to have it put together again?
Holy cat, it's fanciful. There'd be a fortune in it. But tell me, Dave, do you know anything about atoms?
Well, not personally, but I have hired one of the biggest scientific minds in the country to work with me on it.
Not Bernard McFadden.
Even bigger, Professor Thaddeus Radcliffe.
Smart guy, huh, Dave?
Smart? You heard of radar?
Yeah.
The professor's name is Radcliffe. Need I say more?
I got you, Dave. Well, how do I enter into the picture? Financially?
No, I don't want a penny from you, Arch.
Oh, that's good.
See, all I want is a place for the professor and I to conduct our experiments. A little hideaway. You know, something like the back room here at the tavern.
Dave, I got a thought. Why not use the back room?
A very clever idea, Arch. And very generous, Arch.
Well, if I can help one little bit in giving the posterity of the world a little surcease, it's worth it.
Well, thanks, Arch. Now I better get an okay from the higher-ups. Can I use the phone?
Oh, by all means.
Thank you. Oh, hello, operator. Let me have Washington, D.C., please. Water power.
everything all set, Dave?
Aren't we have just made history. And you are in on the ground floor.
Hello, Mr. Hossinger.
Well, Professor, just in time. I would like you to meet a friend of mine, Archie. Hello, Professor.
Pleased to meet you, Archie. My, you have a lovely laboratory.
Well, I'll be honored to have you use it. Anytime you feel like it.
Well, thank you very much. Too bad I didn't have a nice, large place like this when I was conducting my last experiment.
The place was too small, Professor?
Yes. There was no room for my dynamo and generator. No room for my hydraulic compressor. But the big obstacle was that I didn't have room for my revolving turbines.
What were you working on, Professor?
Rainbow bubbles.
The professor's kidding, of course, Archie. You know what he's really been working on?
What, Dave?
FM.
Okay, if you don't want to tell me.
Okay. Well, Professor, I think now we better go to work, huh?
Oh, goody.
Oh, Arch, one thing more. While we're in the back room, you better question all the people around here. We can't be too careful, you know.
Dave, depend on me. From now on, it's Archie the Bloodhound.
I knew I could count on you. See you later, you dog, you.
See you later, Dave. Now, leave me see. Who's suspicious looking around here?
Mr. Archie, what's going on here anyway?
What's going on? Why are you so curious? You know, it comes to my mind that actually we know very little about your background. Quick, did you ever think of overthrowing the American form of government?
Wait a minute.
Do you belong to any subversive activity?
Uh-oh, squirrel bait.
Don't avoid the issue. I want the truth now. Did you ever work for a foreign power?
Oh, sure. Come on. You are talking to the man who in 1942 worked for the Cuban underground smuggling rum into Coca-Cola.
You're a cool one. Okay. You may step down now, but don't try and leave the country.
Arch, I was just wondering.
You was just wondering. What's your name, bud?
Clifton Finnegan.
Oh, ready with a pat answer, huh? How old are you?
Well,
I'll try another question.
Look, don't worry about me, Arch. Nobody will learn nothing from me.
That I guess I should believe. Now, let's see. Who else is there around here?
Say.
You know, Eddie, I've been thinking here, and I'm a little worried.
Why?
Well, if the professor succeeds with these atoms, it might be very dangerous. You know, them atoms give out poison radioactive rays that linger around for months, you know. You read about it, where the white corpuscles eat the red corpuscles.
Well, don't worry about poison gas around here. Nobody would ever notice it.
Say, Arch.
Oh, how are you, Dave? How's things going back there?
Arch, we have run into a snag. I need your brains.
Oh, what's the trouble, Dave?
Well, you know how this atom works, don't you?
Well, I got a smattering idea. As I understand it, the basic elements is composed of protons, electrons, and croutons.
To say nothing of the Sir Isaac Neutron.
Quiet, Eddie. You're stepping out of your class here. Now, as I further understand it, all of these trons is held together and homogenized into a tuple of the aforesaid electrons, which are composed mostly of ingredients.
Arch, I think you have hit it. That's where our trouble is.
What?
There is one ingredient missing. I'm afraid we can't put the atom together again.
Well, what's the missing ingredient?
Well, don't let this get any further, Arch. Yeah.
But this vital material, which we shall hereafter refer to as Factor X, is, and let me whisper this to you, glue.
Glue?
Careful.
Factor X.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, Dave, you got nothing to worry about. We always keep a bottle of Factor X right here in the place. We use it on a free lunch instead of fly paper.
No, Arch. This is a special kind of Factor X we have to buy.
Oh, expensive?
Oh, yes. And that's the trouble, you see. The professor and I have just sunk our last nickels into this thing.
Oh, well, why don't you ask Washington for some money?
Arch, I haven't the heart. They've already sunk $2 billion. Now to ask them for another bottle?
Oh, now that'd be too much. Well, look, Dave, I realize that this atom is a great boon to humanity. As a favor to me, could I help contribute something?
How much you got, Arch?
$5.
$5, eh? Let me consult my catalog. Oh, yes, here it is. Special secret Factor X for vulcanizing atoms. 1 quart to a customer. Price, $4.90 per quart.
$4.90 a quart? Dave, where does this glue come from? Man of War?
Well, it's up to you, Archie. But I don't think you're the kind of man that would let a measly $4.90 stand between you and immortality, are you? Arch, not that I want to press you, but just picture that statue of you sitting on a horse in Central Park, holding an atom in each hand.
Okay, Dave, it's a deal. Here's the $5.
Thanks, Arch. Well, I'd better hurry over and get the merchandise. See you later. And keep your eyes open. Our enemies are very clever.
Okay, Dave. See you later. Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Professor Radcliffe? Yeah, he's here. He's in the back. Just a second. Whom to am I speaking? The superintendent of Bellevue Hospital, huh? Oh, the insane ward, huh? Look, wise guy, do you think you're dealing with children? There's no Professor Thaddeus Radcliffe here, and you got the wrong number. Trace that call, Eddie.
Maybe that call was on the level, Mr. Archer.
What do you mean?
Well, that professor's got some peculiar ideas.
What do you mean?
Well, 10 minutes ago, I served him a ham on rye, and 5 minutes later, he asked me for another ham on rye.
Well, what's so peculiar about that?
Nothing, only this time he wanted it in a glass.
With a cherry in it.
What is it, Professor?
Archie, this glass. Wherever did you get such a glass?
What's wrong with it?
Nothing. It's delicious.
Professor, have you always been a professor?
Oh, no. Just recently.
What was you before that?
I was a general in the French Army.
When was this?
Well, let me see. I met Josephine in 1812.
Egad, yes! I think you were holy! Holy cat! The ambulance!
Oh, there you are, Professor. Yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo!
Now, come on. You and I are going for a nice ride.
Oh, really?
Yes. Say goodnight to the nice gentleman.
Oh. Good night, Archie. If you ever come to France again, look me up. You'll find me buried on a little island called St. Helena. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
And there goes one of the nicest pecans I have ever met.
Holy cat. Wait until Hossinger finds out that he's been dealing with a nut.
Yeah. And wait till he finds out that the professor was crazy, too.
Yep, Dave's heart will be broken. He placed a lot of faith in that, Adam.
Say, Arch! Arch!
Here he is now.
Arch, did I just see the professor leaving in an ambulance?
Yeah, Dave, this is going to be a blow to you, but that professor was a demented praecox.
What?
They just sent the keeper for him from Bellevue.
The keeper? Arch, how can you be that stupid? Don't you know who that was?
Who?
That was no keeper. That was an undercover agent from the Balkans.
From the Balkans? Holy cow.
Arch, why did you let him go? Oh,
but Dave...
Man, you have placed me in a terrible position with Washington.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Do you realize that by letting that spy take the professor back to the Balkans, it may mean that civilization will be set back 1,000 years? It may mean war.
Oh, anything but that, Dave. What can we do about it?
Well, there's only one thing I can do. Go to the Balkans and get the professor back. But where am I going to get the money for the boat trip?
How much do you need, Dave?
Oh, you haven't got that much money, Arch. It'd mean that we'd have to tap the register.
Well, so what? If it's going to save another war, let's tap the register. Here you are, Dave. $18.53. Will that take you to the Balkans?
Well, no. But if it's all you got, maybe I can work fast and head him off at Hoboken.
Oh.
Well, so long, Arch. And thanks, old man, on behalf of humanity and the entire civilized world. Be seeing you, kid.
Good luck, Dave. Holy cat, ain't it amazing? Me, Archie, a kid from PS4 saving civilization. Boy, what a small world, huh?
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.